This episode of The Takeaway is supported by Stitcher Smart Radio. Now podcast listeners can access the latest episodes of The Takeaway and PRI's other shows while on the go without downloading or syncing with Stitcher Smart Radio. Thousands of popular podcasts and programs are available on demand. Stitcher instantly delivers new episodes of your favorite shows to your mobile phone without syncing or downloading. Stitcher Smart Radio can be found in the iPhone or Android app stores or at stitcher.com/takeaway.
More post-Cold War duties for NATO.
NATO is willing to help in a supporting role if requested and if needed.
The voice of NATO, a spokesperson, pledges the organization's support to help maintain the peace if it ever comes to Libya or if the rebels ask.
In the new post-Cold War NATO, the focus is neither very north nor Atlantic, nor, in the case of Sahara Desert Libya, terribly cold. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization, an alliance that goes where the United Nations can't. NATO. Looking for a few good air forces? It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to talk about NATO's responsibilities and track record with a former official. It's Wednesday, August 24th.
And let's get a check of what's going on in Libya with the top news this morning, where Muammar Gaddafi says he has no plans to surrender.
All tribes, men, women, and the armed masses, they should cleanse Tripoli from the traitors and rats.
That's a scratchy audio tape that Gaddafi released this morning, calling on his remaining supporters to continue fighting. Gaddafi is still in hiding, and the rebel fighters are trying to track him down.
Where is he? We're looking for you. Where are you? Come on! Come on! Where are you?
Rebels brought an effective end to Gaddafi's 42-year rule when they stormed his sprawling compound in central Tripoli yesterday. That's a little sound from what turned out to be a five-hour battle. The rebels destroyed Gaddafi's symbols of power. They torched his Bedouin tent where he received foreign dignitaries, pulled down statues, and carted off mementos like his gold-plated rifle.
Meanwhile, Gaddafi loyalists apparently control a handful of neighborhoods in Tripoli, including areas around the city's two largest hospitals and that hotel where foreign journalists are staying. BBC reporter Matthew Price is among the 35 journalists trapped at the Rixos Hotel.
The ITN cameraman just had an AK-47 pulled on him. A guard approached him and pushed him back. He is okay, but still there's a huge amount of apprehension and nervousness amongst the journalists stuck here.
This Tripoli resident, whose voice you can hear courtesy of the internet, there have been all sorts of voices and tweets and indications of what's going on inside Tripoli via the internet, but this voice senses the end of the fighting is near.
I just want to give a message to all Libyan brothers and sisters, I'm so proud of you. I've never been that proud of you. And that's it. I guess it's the first time I'm getting emotional since everything started.
The head of the opposition government in Libya, the Transitional National Council, Mahmoud Jibril, says the rebels will move their headquarters from Benghazi to Tripoli by the weekend.
Hurricane Irene is yet again a Category 2 strength with 100-mile-per-hour winds.
Everyone on the eastern seaboard needs to keep an eye on the storm and be prepared for the eventual impact.
National Hurricane Center Director Bill Reed, he says Irene will hammer the Bahamas today and is expected to become a major Category 3 or 4 storm by the time it makes landfall in the U.S. later this week. The latest models show Irene hitting either North or South Carolina and then crawling up the coast all the way to the northeast through the weekend. North Carolina Governor Bev Perdue says some Outer Banks islands are evacuating this morning.
Let me say what we always say in North Carolina. We're prepared.
Forecasters expect 85-mile-per-hour winds in New York City on Sunday.
So residents of New York will be able to compare those winds with the shaking they felt yesterday.
And then it sort of got way louder and way longer and way harder. Stuff started falling down on the shelves, and then, we're having an earthquake right now.
I was watching the game, and then all of a sudden I started shaking in my seat.
I noticed it, but, I didn't really believe it.
That earthquake centered in Virginia was felt in 22 states, caused only minor damage. The Washington Monument will be closed for a while because of some small cracks. Asian markets down. European indices are mixed. Futures are down this morning for Wall Street. The Dow starts at 11,176. The S&P opens at 1,162 and the Nasdaq at 2,129. Coming up this morning, we'll talk with one of the first people to actually benefit from the Obama administration's new deportation policy for undocumented immigrants. We'll also talk about the latest in Libya, a profile of the embattled leader, Muammar Gaddafi, in a half hour. But first, we'll talk with a former U.S. ambassador to NATO about what NATO's role could be after the official, and how do we even define that, fall of the Gaddafi regime. That's in a few minutes.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.